LPFM grants have begun. Sage is ready to deliver Rev 96, a flurry of filings over the holidays in the Caesar saga, and proof that analog is not dead. All of that coming up right now.
REC, FCC Today, BG Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Tuesday, February 6, 2024. Last Friday, the FCC started granting singleton applications that were filed in the 2023 low-power FM filing window. This includes the REC-supported application for Riverton Radio Project Association for a new station on 89.1 here in Riverton. Riverton received the first call sign approved for this window, WVWA, a tribute to a great radio-related skit created in the mid-1970s about a small radio station. So far, the FCC has identified 709 singleton applications, of which 103 have already been granted. Sage Alerting Systems announced today that the very long-awaited firmware upgrade, Rev 96, has been officially released. This new version includes new functionality to accommodate the FCC-required CAP polling technology, as well as revised names for certain alert types. Owners of the Sage NDEC Model 3644 must already have Rev 95 installed before attempting the Rev 96 update. The Rev 96 update will be free of charge for anyone who purchased their NDEC new from dealer stock after December 12, 2021, and for those who purchased prior to that date, they can obtain the upgrade for $159 from an authorized Sage distributor. Originally, the FCC had set a deadline of December 12, 2023, for broadcasters to have their EAS equipment updated to meet the new requirements. While other manufacturers were able to meet that date, Sage had reported that their release was going to be delayed. As a result, REC Networks and the National Association of Broadcasters made a joint request to the FCC for an extension of the deadline. The FCC granted the request through a limited blanket waiver for operators of the Sage NDEC Model 3644 to have their EAS units compliant on the Rev 96 version on or before March 11, 2024. The new Rev 96 update will include updated security certificates used by the NDEC in order to receive alerts that are received through the Internet-Connected Integrated Public Alert Warning System, or IPAWS. Hey, it's the Meachie. You love this content? You love when we talk about the FCC and all this other nerdy stuff? Then feel free to go visit the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel at youtube.com/Michelle Bradley. And remember to subscribe and listen to all the podcasts right there. Listen to it right there, and you'll be able to hit that notification dinger, and you'll be able to love this channel. Thank you very much for your support. The Cesar Guell case is continuing. This case now before an administrative law judge is to determine the involvement of Antonio Cesar Guell in respect to seven now-canceled low-power TV station licenses and whether Guell was a real party in interest in these stations, whether there was an unauthorized transfer of control, and whether he had de facto control over these facilities. The case will also determine whether Guell and Hispanic Christian Community Network, or HCCN, should be treated as the same entity, and whether Guell, HCCN, had made misrepresentations to the FCC and abused process through his involvement with the stations. The case is also intended to show cause as to whether Guell, HCCN, possesses the character qualifications to be a commission licensee, and even questions whether Guell, HCCN, should be ordered to cease and desist from operating, managing, or providing any assistance to any broadcast station. Through the holiday season, there was a flurry of filings that took place, too many to get into full details here. On November 9, 2023, Guell, as former president of HCCN, filed a motion for summary decision with respect to these issues. On December 7, the Enforcement Bureau opposed that motion. On December 18, the Enforcement Bureau filed a motion to expand the hearing to determine Guell's involvement with stations licensed to the Mekadesh Group Corporation and to add Mekadesh as well as Hispanic Family Christian Network as parties to the application. In the Guell motion, he did not object to issues related to his involvement with the 7LP TV stations and the issue that he misrepresented material information to the commission and/or lacked candor. Guell stated that he would accept a determination adverse to him in this proceeding because he does not qualify to be a commission licensee due to his lack of U.S. citizenship. He also does not object to a forfeiture related to issues in this hearing. In the motion, Guell does argue, though, that an outright ban from broadcasting would be something that is beyond the commission's authority. In opposition, the Enforcement Bureau states that Guell has not established a basis in which to grant a summary decision on the issues because his motion does not include an affidavit or supporting information. Enforcement did state that Guell does acknowledge that he falsely certified that he was a U.S. citizen on applications, but Guell stated that those misrepresentations were not intentional. On December 22nd, Guell filed a supplement to the motion for summary decision, which enforcement would file a motion to strike, which, because of the Christmas holiday, was not received at the Enforcement Bureau until December 26. Enforcement points out that even if Guell had been permitted to file a reply, it would have been due on December 14th. Guell then stated that counsel for the Enforcement Bureau could have had notice of the filing if she had chosen to just simply open her email on December 24 when the email arrived. December 24th fell on a Sunday. On February 5th, the ALJ has denied Guell's original motion, granted enforcement's motion to strike by agreeing that the supplement was not authorized by commission rules. The ALJ is also requesting Guell to respond by February 13 with more information regarding a transaction between Mekadesh Group and a different company, JPX Global, which acquired Mekadesh. Again, there's a lot going on here, and this case is moving forward. Who said analog is dead? The FCC's Office of Engineering and Technology is accepting comments on a waiver request from well-known police body cam manufacturer Axon to waive portions of Section 15.247 of the Commission's rules to use analog modulation for certain law enforcement devices operating in the 5.7 gigahertz band. Specifically, Axon is asking the FCC for the waiver so they can market three investigation and surveillance devices to law enforcement. These devices include a drone, a ground vehicle, and a pole-mounted standalone camera. Axon states that these devices are intended to provide law enforcement with real-time information in dangerous situations and reduce safety risks. The waiver request would allow these Axon devices to operate at power levels allotted only to digital spread spectrum devices and to exceed the out-of-band emission limits. Comments in ET Docket 24-40 are being taken through March 7th, with replies due on March 22nd. FCC Today, the podcast is available on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel, as well as on Podbean and other popular podcast providers. Please subscribe to the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel to stay informed. For up-to-the-minute applications and actions at the Media Bureau, visit our official website, fcc.today. REC Networks is always on at recnet.com for assistance with LPFM, full-service FM, and FM translators. Please contact REC at 202-621-2355. Until next time, I'm Michelle Bradley, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist. Good day from Riverton. REC.